your hands and bless him. Lift your hands to the heavens. Hallelujah, word. Hallelujah, word. Hallelujah. Wonderful is thy truth and thy counsel, Father. We bless you and we thank you. We worship you and we praise you. We ask the Messiah, wonderful man, that the fire of your anointing rest upon your words of God. Your manservant, let it be filled with the anointing of your Spirit. And everything that is spoken is by the proclamation of the Spirit of your word. We bless you, we thank you, Father, for truth today that is revealed by your inspired word. We thank you in Messiah's name. We bless you. Now bless the preaching, the teaching, the inspiration of truth, that it may inspire the hearts of your people. We ask that you touch them and this assembly today, and those that may hear this broadcast via the broadcast, touch your people. For many hungry souls, Father, yet this tradition, or the traditions of religion, has not made one free and bound in apostasy, not just ignorance, but turning away from the truth. They are bound in apostasy, Father. We ask you to help us all today. We search our hearts. For we know that a little leaven leaveth the whole lump, causes sin to permeate a man's soul. But there's no power to resist his lusts, his corrupt ways, his transgressions of the laws of your mind. We ask in Messiah's wonderful name to bless the world. We need that today above all things, Father. I bless you that we can come and sing, lift our hands. But you have chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe in the message of Messiah. And he came to reveal the name of the great Creator and the Heavenly Father. But there is no other but you, Yahweh. And there is no other name that expresses who you are, but the name of Yahweh. I bless you and I thank you. I praise you for your mighty words, the precious, wonderful name of your sure Messiah. We bless you and we thank you with the praise of Hallelujah. May be seated. We bless the Father of all things today. What a wonderful hour it is to be and to know that you're in the presence of the great Creator of all things. That He created the heavens, the earth, and all things that are therein. In the earth, in the heavens, the stars, the constellations, the universe, the planets. He created all things by His spoken word. And He has created in us, by His spoken and written word, the life and the image of His dear Son, the begotten of Yahweh, that we may walk in the same anointing, same spirit, and led by the same truth. There is only one truth. There's no truth for the Pentecostals. One for the Methodists, the Episcopalians, the Lutherans, the Baptists. There's only one truth. There is no different truth for the Yahwehists and those that say that they love Yahweh. There is only one truth. And that truth will break the shackles and the bondage of man today. What we are dealing with in this hour, it is not that men are walking in error. They have erred from the faith. It is apostasy. They have apostated the faith, their doctrines, the bylaws, the traditions, whereby they deny doctrine.
and the true doctrine of your way. And that was one of the things that Saul said unto Timothy. He said, I want you to understand, you must know this, that in the latter time there should be perilous times. Shall be times that are very difficult. Shall be times that the heart of man will be given over unto every kind of vile, demonic power there is. For Yahweh has kept the curtains of the heavens held back. And now every kind of vile, abominable thing there is, that will distort a man's mind even to think clearly and right, he is battling all those kinds of spirits. Things as a sinner a man never battle. Yet there are things that we battle today, even your conscience. Wonder, why is that? I don't think like that. I know I will not do that. That's not a part of my desire, but yet we battle those things. Because we are in the midst of apostates, where the heart is turned away from truth. I want to establish something today by Scripture. I do want to begin reading from 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 1. Second Timothy chapter 3. Joel says unto Timothy, the saints, he warns him of the apostate, of the apostasy that would overtake many. In the midst of that, there will be a falling away. And the reason that is so, because they are what the world call, quote, confessing Christians, unquote. They confess him with their mouths and with their tongues, but their hearts are far from him. And so he warns him of the very perilous times that should come in the last days. He talks about how men will become lovers of themselves, and pride shall be the strength of that kind of attitude. He tells him about the unaffectionate people today, and that is such a prevalent thing today. No affection. No affection for anyone. You can't sense it. There is no feel of affection. The affections will become so unnatural. A man cannot even express affection. And affection is a warmth of compassion and love that can be sensed by the senses of a man's physical faculties. Yet they will have no affection. They become traitors, and they will walk in the arrogance of their own mind and their own pride, that they cannot be instructed or told. They cannot be taught the laws of Yahweh and the truths. He said they will have this form of a religious aura, but they deny the power of Yahweh, and that is the doctrine. They will not adhere to sound doctrine. They will turn their hearts away from those things. And he's saying unto Timothy, understanding all those things, I want you to understand this. There is a strength to the house of Yahweh, and it's found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. He says to Timothy, I want you to understand that all Scripture. He said, you must realize that all Scripture. And Timothy had nothing but the Torah, the law, the Tanakh, the Psalms and the prophets. He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration or by the inspired hearts of Yahweh. And he says to Timothy, I want you to understand that it is profitable. You can profit from all Scripture. He said, it is profitable for, first of all, doctrine. What is doctrine? It is a manner and a discipline that causes one to be brought under the discipline of the one that has the power to mandate that. The one that gives us instruction. It is profitable, he said, for doctrine. It is profitable for your reproof. It is profitable for your correction. It is profitable for your instruction in righteous living or righteousness. But that is what all Scripture, the design of all Scripture, its power, its strength, it is profitable for man. And seeing this apostate that shall overtake the world, not that men are ignorant of the truth, it is that they deny the truth. And when one denies the validity of the truth, that they give their hearts over unto an apostate spirit. When a man is ignorant of the truth, the man walks in error. He walks without the knowledge of truth. But when the profitability of doctrine is expressed unto us, and we reject doctrine, then it becomes an apostate spirit. For you turn your heart away from the truth. And the truth is the law of Yahweh. It is the truth. And you cannot turn your heart away from that. He says, with these things that shall come to pass, I don't want you to be disturbed by these things or troubled in your heart. For you shall know that these are the last days because they are very perilous. He said, and the reason that doctrine and instruction, reproof and correction is profitable unto you, that you as a man of Yahweh may become perfect, and that you should be thoroughly furnished to do all righteous works, that you can perform the righteousness of the laws of Yahweh, you can keep his statutes and his judgments. Because the only scripture that Timothy had to inspire his heart was the Tanakh and the Psalms and the prophets. He did not have the letter or the epistle of Philemon. He did not have the letter or the epistle of Corinth. He had this inspired truth that Paul had wrote personally unto Timothy to ensure him of the value of Scripture and the importance of Scripture and the need for Scripture. And we need Scripture today. And when a man begins to move away from the truth, he begins to give his heart over unto those things that are vile and unclean. When he is overtaken by the apostate spirit, Joel tells Timothy in the 4th chapter and the 3rd verse. He warns him to preach the message that has been delivered unto him by the unction of the Spirit. He tells him to be instant, to stay sharp. Do not become discouraged because of man and their actions, their deeds. For these things are the sign of the apostate that is working in today. He says, as he assures him in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. How could you all tell Timothy that? Unless he had the Spirit of Yahweh, that is a sound spirit, that the Spirit will not speak of himself, but it will speak of the things that it has heard. How can he speak sound doctrine unless he has the anointing of the Father? He can only speak sound doctrine by that anointing. And so to assure his heart, he said, the time will come when they will not endure. They will not suffer the radical change that sound doctrine will make in their lives. That's what enduring is. It is to press beyond the force that is opposing your will, your flesh, and to endure that or to encounter that without questioning whether Yahweh is permitting this in your life, because you have become so sedentary, you have become conformed to a religious practice that has not produced anything at all. So the apostate spirit will not endure sound doctrine. It will turn its ear away from that. He said, but after their own lust. Now, it doesn't come from the will of the Father. It comes after their own lust. And when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And so when their own lust has been conceived in their hearts, it produces sin, transgression of the law of Yahweh. And that's why there is no, if I must use this expression, there's no feel. They cannot be fit. They cannot feel or be touched by the hand of Yahweh. Nothing that is spoken unto them touch their hearts or touch their inward parts. He said, after their own lust shall they heap or gather to themselves teachers having itching ears. He says, and they shall turn away their ear from the truth. And his law is the truth. Yahweh is from everlasting to everlasting. And thy law is the truth. Man today has turned his ears away from the truth. They will not honor the Father. They will not keep the Shabbat, no matter how you preach that to them. For this is an apostate generation. There is no affection. There is no love or any such thing at all. Wives show no affection to their husbands, and husbands no affection to their wives. There is no touch that you can sense the warmth of love, compassion, that causes a heart to be filled with the joyfulness of knowing that a man that findeth a wife, he findeth a good thing, and he has favor of Yahweh. Because of the apostate of this hour, these are the characteristics of an apostate era and time. And we are in a time of truly that it is apostate. For they have turned away their hearts and their ears from hearing the truth of Yahweh. He said that will be the sure sign that they will turn away their hearts from that. And they will be turned unto fables, lies, and deceit. They will be turned unto things that are corrupt. I tell you one lie and one deceit. They keep the first day of the week instead of the Shabbat. And they're given over unto those fables and those lies. And they hold fast to them as though that they are truth. We have been led in error concerning the name of the Son. It could never be Jesus. And it is a fable and a lie. You can never deduct his name or the Father's name from Jesus. And so this is the sure sign and the manifestation of this apostate mindset that shall overtake the world today and is already overcoming the world. Men love fables. They love things that are not based in doctrine and truth. For it's one thing that doctrine does, it causes one, or it will instruct you in the discipline of the laws of the one that has established the doctrine. And you must obey that one, for that one has the charge, the authority, and the power to administer the judgment of that doctrine if you do not conform with all conformity to that doctrine. And so men today, because of their lust, they will gather men and women together. Because their ears are itching, or there is a tingling in their spirits, to receive something that is agreeable with them and that is palatable unto them. And so Saul said unto Timothy, this is your assurance that all scripture is given by inspiration of Yahweh. When those Yahudicizers and the apostates began to speak things that you are not absolutely certain of, then you go to scripture. You go and see what scripture says. When those are trying to conform you to a manner and a way that is not according to the laws of Yahweh, and there is doubt in your spirit, Timothy, you go to scripture. He said, because all the scripture, it is profitable for doctrine. And if you need to reprove them, you can do that. If there's correction to be found, the only way it's going to be found is in scripture. It's not going to be found based upon a doctrine of man or an emotional swaying. He said it's going to be based on scripture. And so your assurance is that all the scripture that you have read is the inspired truth of Yahweh. So you go back to the Torah, what Moshe, for he witnessed of this Messiah. He told of this one that would come. When the Yodim say that it cannot be, he goes to the scripture and says, Moshe, witness of this mighty power that shall come and redeem the house of Israel. And he shall come in the Father's name. So the scripture is an inspiration. In this hour, that is the only thing that's going to inspire your heart. Scripture. Nothing else. For it is the inspiration. It is the inspired heart of Yahweh. And if he is the creator, I do not believe that he would inspire our hearts to reject whom he is. And scripture must imply and instruct us as to whom he is and what he is and the validity of Almighty Yahweh. I wanted to lay that premises that we may understand the validity of this truth that I will speak from all scripture today. Revelation chapter 7 verse 9. Revelation chapter 7 verse 9. As the great profound vision that Yohanan saw, he saw this great multitude coming out of great tribulation. And yet he heard, as Yahweh began to speak by his ministers, his messengers, of this profound truth of revelation, he said that in verse 9, after he saw all this great transformation, he said, I look, and lo, there was a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and of all kindreds, and people, and tongue. And they stood before the throne, and before the Lamb. You see where they stood? They stood before the throne, and they stood before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palms in their hands. We must understand the significance of the saints. We understand that those palms that they had in their hands, it is a sign and an insignia that we must honor the feast days of Yahweh. It is not something trivial there, but this is the word of truth. He saw them stand before the throne of Yahweh and the Lamb with the Father, and they had on white robes and they had palms in their hands. And this is what they did now. This is the eternal abode of Yahweh. It says in verse 10, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, listening carefully, they said, your shot or salvation to our Father, who sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. Not only to the Lamb, but to the Father and to the Lamb. They cry, salvation, or the Yorshak, our Savior. He is the one that has purchased us by the testimony and the blood of Messiah. And he is worthy to be exalted and to be lifted up above his throne. There's no other height that he could have been lifted up to. No other height. Verse 11. And all the Malach or Melechim stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four living creatures, and they fall before the throne. Now, you see where they fall? They fall before the throne. They fall before the throne. They fall before the throne on their faces and worship Yahweh. That is who they worship, Yahweh. Saying, not amen, but hallelujah way, blessing and honor. Do you believe that the Father of all creation, that the blessings and honors inhabit his throne? I believe that. He said, and wisdom, is he not the only wise Father? He says, and thanksgivings, should we not come into his presence with a voice of thanksgivings? He says, and reverence or honor. Should we not reverence him and honor him? That this is the character of Yahweh. He said, and power. What other power is there? There is no other power. And might, who has shown us the mighty works as Yahweh has? He says, all these attributes and superlatives be unto our Father. How long shall they be unto him? Forever and ever. Hallelujah. Now, if these characteristics are forever his character, can we remove one of them from him? Can we take honor from him? Can you take fear or reverence from him? Can you take away his mighty power that he has wrought in the earth? Explain to me the creation of a tree. I can't explain to you the creation of a gnat. I just know that Yahweh made all things. My natural mind cannot comprehend that. With the great minds of physics, aerodynamics, whatever it is, they cannot understand the great composition of what Yahweh has done from dirt. That he made man from the dirt of the earth. And so these attributes of Yahweh, they are forever and ever. They are perpetual. They will never change. They are eternal. These attributes. When we get into the kingdom, he is not going to become an hostile, erratical, and irrational type of a person. It cannot be so. And they fell before the throne. And these are the accolades that they harped unto him. That he was blessed, he was honored, He was filled with all wisdom and thanksgivings and reverence and power and might unto you, Yahweh. You are the one, and this is forever and ever. It is not a temporal thing, but it is always. It is forever. It is forever enduring. It doesn't change at all. It is eternal. And the scriptures are forever. They do not change with man. They are forever. He speaks in Revelation 14 and 9. I want you to keep that in your conscience forever. And there are things that he always says he wants us to do forever. And they must be done. Revelation 14 and 9. As the great Babylon had fallen, the Moloch of Yahweh, as he followed the second Moloch. Revelation 14, 9. He said, and the third Moloch followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image. Saints, I pray that Yahweh gives you clarity of conscience and mind and spirit. I want you to understand what I'm reading, that you may see whom the Father is. He said, and a third Moloch followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. Do you hear that? He tells you what is going to happen. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of Yahweh, which is poured out without any mixture or any temperance at all or any comfort into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy Moloch or Melechim and the presence of the Lamb. Now there is where his torment is going to be. For he has rejected the message of the ministering spirits of Yahweh and also of the testimony of the Lamb. Now this is what I want you to understand in verse 11. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. Do you believe that their smoke is going to ascend up forever and ever? Do you all believe that? Now, if you don't believe me, then don't answer it. But if you believe that, do you not believe those that receive the mark of the beast, or the number of his name? You do not think that their torment is going to ascend up forever and ever? It is going to ascend up forever and ever. I want to show you the severity of Scripture today. And what man has done, this is a corrupt generation. They have taken the wonderful name of Yahweh and given it a pagan name. And the name of Jesus is pagan. It is steep, its originality, its origin, it's from pagan origin. Certainly you were just ignorant of those things. We walked in error. I'd rather walk in error than to walk in an apostate spirit that my heart turned away from true doctrine. Now that is the difference between one walking in error and one walking in apostate. One walking in apostate, they turn their heart away from doctrine. And they will look after men that will satisfy their own fleshly lust. One that's walking in error, even in their ignorance, not understanding or knowing, it will cause them to think spiritually. It will cause them to begin to discern whether they truly have what they believe they possess. When a man is given to apostate, he has no love for the things of Yahweh. They will say they love him, but there is no love there. And so the torment of those that reject Messiah and the witness of his truth and those that receive the hope of this false anti-Messiah spirit, Yahweh said his wrath shall be poured out upon them and their smoke shall be a perpetual smoke and torment to stand and to remind us of this great victory of those that have overcome through great tribulation that we have ascertained. That we may be thankful continuously before the Father. Because the heart tends to lose gratitude after a while. A wife can bake the husband a nice cake. He enjoys that while his belly is full. And the next day, his temperament, his attitude, his spirit is totally different. A husband can buy the wife beautiful flowers, a bouquet of flowers, and 2 days later, she's back to her own ways. Hallelujah. He said that their smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receive the mark of his name. Do you believe that one will have rest if they receive the mark of this beast spirit today? That's what this religious world today, the people have no rest. They're going day and night. They're trying to acquire and have and to look prosperous and to see that they are blessed, and yet they are cursed. They have no rest on the Shabbat, the first day. They are going. The jobs keep them. The extracurricular activities, the folly, the sons and their daughters that participate in all of this extracurriculum. It doesn't produce any power of life in them at all. No love for the Father. It causes them to love the world and the things of the world, because the love of the Father is not in them. And so that's why they love the world. Most whorehouses today, they preach with an affection for the world. He never told you to put your affection on things that are sensual and earthly. He said to put it on things that are above. Now why does a man labor all of his life to buy a house or a car or some trinkets that are temporal? And they all shall be dissolved. Yahweh never intended for that. Never at all. He says, but I want to show you something in verse 12. I like this. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Yahweh, and they have the faith of Messiah. I want to read it from this translation. In this manner are the saints purified. In this manner. By keeping the laws of Yahweh in conformity with the faith as Messiah. That he believed the Father. He knew where he was from. And the works that he did, they were to please the Father. That is our perfection. Do we not understand that is the strength of perfection? That we do all things to please the Father? That our heart is set to please Yahweh? That our conformity is in line with the faith of Messiah? Through all the opposition and those that oppose him of his natural tribal family, yet he did not resist his place, his authority, and the calling that was placed upon him by Yahweh. And he did not denounce the name of the Father. Now that is what the apostate world has done. Yes, denounced the name of the Father. And they have deducted and derived to a false name. And the name is false. It is pagan. I know the prefix of the words that it comes from. It comes from Asos, Asos, which means the goddess of healing, Jesus, which is a Latin word. And yet from Jesus you get Jesus Christo. It could never be. When that Malach Gabriel came unto Miriam, she was not a Latin woman. She was not a Greek woman. She was not an Americanized woman, but she was of the tribe of Yehudah. And he spoke to her in that tongue of that native land, the Hebrew language, and thy son shall be called Yahshua, the assurance of Yahweh's salvation. They love fables more than truth. They love lies and they don't love truth today. Men get angry with truth. When someone tells you the truth about yourself, you get angry. Have you ever asked someone to say, be honest, tell me the truth, just be honest, how do I look in this? And when they give you a valid opinion, you become hostile. You say, it doesn't really look that bad, does it? You get quiet. So undoubtedly, you've all been guilty of that one, huh? So truth doesn't set well with us. Now, if they tell you a fable, say, well, it doesn't look bad. Well, it looks pretty good on you. Well, I tell you what, tuck that in now. You look real nice now. Then you love flattery lips, lying lips. You love that. There's only one type of lip that is established forever. And even Solomon knew that. He said the lips of truth are established forever and ever. Only the lips of truth are established forever and ever. So did Messiah tell us the truth or a lie? What Saul said unto Timothy, it had to be the truth or a lie. And all scripture. How do you deduct from that? You can't take no scripture from all scripture. Is that not a scripture, the third commandment? Is that not scripture? To remember his name? Not to take it in vain. Is that not scripture? Is the Shabbat not scripture? Well, then all scripture is inspired by Yahweh's heart, and it is profitable for doctrine or for your discipline. That's what doctrine does. It disciplines you to walk in a certain way and a manner, and you're governed by the discipline of the doctrine. You can't become lawless and go in your own way. And so all scripture is given by the inspiration. The lying lips, they are not like the lips of truth. Lips of truth shall be established forever. But lying lips are just for a moment. They don't last long. They don't stand very long. But the lips of truth, what are the lips of truth? Well, the lips that speaks the laws of Yahweh. To show us how we're going to be governed. And the way that Yahweh wants us to be governed. And without that, you have no truth at all. Now, we believe that the torment shall ascend forever and ever those that receive the mark of the beast. You believe that? I believe that as well. I believe that these are the attributes of Yahweh and they are forever. Forever. Now, this concerns you and I. If this, we fit this scripture here. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Now, if these are false scriptures, then everything else I preach is a total lie then. If these are true, then what I preach after this will be the truth too. Now, this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. And Joel says, do you believe this now? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Listen to this. Even the rapturists teach this. It says, for Yahshua himself shall descend from heaven with the shout and the voice of the great Malach, and with the trump of Yahweh, or with the sound of the Father, and the dead in Messiah shall rise first. You believe that? You believe that to be truth? You believe that the Messiah is going to ascend from the heavens with the sound or with the voice of Yahweh and say, surely the word is manifest and this is the reality of that truth. You believe that? And those that have died in him shall rise first. You believe that? And if you believe that, then you must believe the next verse too then. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them, those that have died in Messiah, in the clouds to meet Yahshua in the air. Now, I like the latter part of all this because without this part, the rest means nothing. And so shall we ever be with him or be with Messiah. Will we be for him, with him for 10 years or forever? Will it be 1,000 years or ever? Will it be 1,000,000 years or eternity? Now that's what it says, ever. We that shall be alive when he comes. We're going to be caught up in the clouds with him. That's what scripture says. Caught up in the air to meet him with the grand of his grand entrance. We're going to bless him for the great revelation or the fulfillment of this scripture. That is the fulfillment of that scripture when we see the mighty power of Yahweh. That is why he's coming with the trump of the Father. He will have the backing of the Father, and the voice of the Father will boom to say, this is the one that the world rejected and denied, and spoke fables of him, and this is the reality of him. And we're going to be with him forever. Now that's what scripture says, and so shall we forever. And that has no duration of time. That is perpetual, saints. Ever is perpetual. It doesn't cease with time. It's not bound by time. It is ever. Without that scripture of hope, we have no hope at all. Apostate has caused us not to believe that. A man in error, he may not understand the power of that, but he won't reject that scripture. He won't defy it. And so what I've tried to do is establish the forever, or the ever of Yahweh, to show you that all scripture from the beginning was established by Yahweh, and it is profitable for us in this hour, even in this time. Now David says in Psalms chapter 111, Psalms 111, if I start this message off with all scripture, that scripture, then I must deal with all scripture. I cannot just go to the Torah, and the Tanakh, and the prophets, and Psalms, but I must go to the New Covenant as well. For the New Covenant is the witness of those things in the Tanakh. Everything that the New Covenant says is in the Tanakh. And you always will on Wednesday, Scripture Truth. I will show you that in Scripture. I pray he allows me to show you that. I will show you. But this is what David says in Psalms, chapter 111, verse 6. He says, he hath showed his people the power of his works. Yahweh has showed us the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathens or the nations. Now that's what he has done, saints. He has shown us the power of his works. How? He brought Israel out of Egypt. And he brought them through a great trial of affliction, even though they did not trust him, because they didn't know him. They did not know him. They have been in Egypt 425 years, given over unto every kind of vile, unscrupulous type of worship there was. That's why they had so many high places and groves. And yet he brought them out when Moshe went to them to tell them what this mighty one was going to do. He said, how do I tell them what is your name? For this is a people that want a name. I can't tell them that some king is going to deliver them, but what is the name of the king? We must know who he is. And the word God is so erroneous as to whom Yahweh is, it doesn't even describe him in any proximity. That's the truth. The matter of fact, man doesn't even know where the word came from. Its true origin, what it implies. You know, if we would take a little time to seek his face and his truth, we will find out how much we really don't know. If we learn how to be quiet and study to show ourselves approved, we'll find out how little we thought we did know and how little you don't know. And it's just showing us we know nothing. That's why we must have the Spirit. And it can't be the black man's spirit. It can't be the white man's spirit. It can't be the Yod-Im spirit. It must be the Spirit of Yahweh. And the thing that the Spirit will comfort you in is one thing, and that is Scripture. It's not going to comfort you in anything that is from Scripture. Well, I'm suffering about a certain thing. He says many are the afflictions of the righteous. Well, my sons and my daughters are going astray. He never said he was going to save your sons and your daughters. He said, man's foe will be of his own house. And so he's not going to comfort you outside of the scripture. The Spirit is going to comfort you inside of the perfect word that is already spoken and written. He's not going to bring a new law to you. He's not going to give you a comfort of the law of your own flesh because that's your possession. He speaks only to the purchased possession of Almighty Yahweh. So those external things, he doesn't speak concerning those things. That's the truth, saints. David says in verse 7, he said, the work of thine hand, or the works of thine hand, are verity. They're works of truth. That's what the word verity means. It's a work of truth. It's a work of purity. It's a work of truth. He said, the works of thine hand, they're works of truth. Who has created the world and the stars but Yahweh? He said, and judgment. And this is what he says. Listen, he said, and his commandments are sure. They're faithful. They're permanent. They are established. They are steadfast. Do you not understand when you have a sure foundation? When there's a sure foundation, it doesn't move. When you do something with surety, you make sure it doesn't move. You look back and you say, I am sure that that is not going anywhere. Have you ever done that? I am sure that. So he gave us commandments that he was sure nothing could destroy them. Nothing at all. I want to show you the things that are imprinted in the heart of Yahweh when they are things that are forever. If he doesn't rapture us up and catch us up to meet Messiah, then his word is not a sure word. The works of his hand, they are not verity. They are false works. And so I want to know who I'm going to charge with this if these things are not manifested. I want to know. I know they're going to be manifested. He says in verse 111, verse 8, he's talking about the commandments. He said, they stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. The power of Yahweh stands forever and ever. It is a perpetual thing. It doesn't change, saints. There's no changing in Yahweh. His commandments, there's no change in them. It says, he sent redemption unto his people. He has sent us redemption through Messiah. He hath commanded his covenant for how long? Forever. Is the new covenant forever or is temporal? It is a forever covenant. The laws of Yahweh, they're forever. He has commanded them forever. This is a generation that loves fables. It doesn't love truth. You cannot extract from the New Testament things that make you feel good. You must take the whole of the New Testament as you do the Old Covenant as well. From the Tanakh. And the New Covenant was sealed by the blood of Messiah. Not with heifers or the sprinkling of ashes with heifers. But it's sealed by the witness that Messiah said he came from the Father. To testify of whom he is and what his name is. He said, he sent and he redeemed his people. We have received the commandment, or his commandment is, the commandment of his covenant is forever. Holy and reverence is his name. If his commandment is forever, then holy and reverence is the name of Yahweh. His name is holy. It says that, doesn't it? It says holy and what? Reverence is his name. Now we better understand what his name is. If his name is holy and reverence. Holy and reverence. As sure as his commandments are forever and ever. Well, his name, his commandments, is based upon whom he is. And if you know his commandments, you will know his name. And knowing his name and who he is, you will not shun the truth of his commandments, his laws, and all scripture. He says this in verse 10. And I want to deal with this for a moment. He says, the fear of Yahweh, the fear now, the reverence. When a man began to truly tremble and reverence Yahweh, that is the beginning of wisdom, the concept of whom he is, the knowledge of whom he is. He said, a great understanding have all they now. Only those have a great understanding that do his commandments or his laws. That's why this world has no understanding. And understanding is a wellspring of life.
He says, great or good understanding have all they that do his commandments. When a man doesn't do his commandments, he has no understanding of Yahweh. When he has no honor for his name and reverence for the name, something is wrong in the soul of this generation. It is an apostate generation. If Yahweh said his name is holy and reverence, and you don't reverence his name, somewhere in your heart you don't have the spirit of Yahweh.
This world despises his name because it is worldly. His name is holy and reverence. And because we keep his commandments, we have understanding of whom he is. He says, his praise endureth forever. His praise endureth forever. Well, what praise should we offer to him that endureth forever? Well, that should be an everlasting praise. I want to read some scriptures. I'm going to call them out. You can write them down. You can go back and retrace this. I want to move, though. Psalms 45, verse 17. Psalms 45, 17. David says, I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Did he say in some generations? In all generations. Are we not a generation of those generations? And his name shall be remembered in all generations. Therefore, shall the people praise thee for how long? Forever and ever. He means for his name to be praised forever and ever, ever. That's what David said. I will make it known to all generations. And if you look and do any study in Psalms, you will see how David extolled the name of the Father. He praised his name constantly. And folks love Psalms. I don't care whom they are, their condition. Dying sinners want to hear something read from the Psalms. They always want something from the Old Testament or the Tanakh. Read something from Psalms. That's their comfort. And David said, throughout all the generations, I will make not your power, but thy name known. For what reason? That they may praise you forever and ever. Because they know your name, they know who you are, and they will bless you. He says in Psalms 54, verse 6. Psalms 54, verse 6. He said, I will freely offer unto you, Yahweh. I will freely. I do not have to be coerced. Compel or force, but it's a free action of my desire. I will freely offer unto you, the Yahweh. I will praise thy name, O Yahweh, for it is righteous. It is a good thing to praise the name of Yahweh. It is a good thing to give thanks unto Yahweh. It is a blessed thing to praise his name. It is a good thing that his name is in your mouth and your lips, saints. He could not have been talking about one that the world called Jesus here at all. It could never be that. He was talking to the Father. And the Father had a name then. It has not changed now. For he is the same. Yesterday, forever. Yesterday, today, and forevermore. He doesn't change. So his name doesn't change. They love the fables. They want to call him God, good, Lord. They don't want to call him by name because this is an apostate, ignorant generation. You can say God and no one is offended. The Muslims are not. The pagans, no one is offended. You call upon the mighty name of Yahweh, men begin to skirmish and get angry. Psalm 61, verse 8. Psalm 61, verse 8. David declares, so will I. And I declare the same thing, David. He says, so will I sing praise unto thy name forever. So will I sing praises or praise unto thy name for how long? Forever. He meant what he said. That I may daily perform my vows. That's why man doesn't perform the vows or his commitments unto Yahweh, because he doesn't know who he's serving.
He said, but I will sing praises unto your name forever. Not unto some God, but he declared what he was singing praises unto. Unto the name of the Father. And when a man will not sing praises unto the name of the Father, then all this scripture has no inspiration in the man's heart. And all scriptures given by the inspiration of Yahweh.
The 66th chapter in verse 2. Psalm 66, verse 2. Scripture tells you to sing forth the honor of his name. Well, what is the honor of his name? What name is the name of honor? It says, sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praises wonderful and mighty. That's what we should do. Our heart should extol Yahweh. And we should sing forth the honor of his name. We should honor his name in songs. And praise his name in songs. We should sing forth. It should be a song in our hearts. To sing forth the name of our Father. And we should make the honor of that name to fill the heavens. That the powers of hell will know that we know who we serve. I don't believe that Yahweh is associated with the same kind of character demeanor as Shaitan. For this message today is here from you. It is because the God of this world has blinded your eyes, lest the power of this mighty message may shine through unto you. And I don't believe that if Yahweh, because Yahweh made Shaitan, and he was a cherubim. And if he is a cherubim, then how can he be a God if Yahweh is a God as well? It can't be. It doesn't measure up. Not at all. He was made from the one and he is identified by the same power and same strength. Well, that's a small letter G and the others are large. What an ignorant, preposterous statement. We have not even challenged that in our thinking. We've just received that because we're ignorant. We've never questioned that because those that said that to us, we perceived that they were men of understanding and they were learned men. And it's just an ignorant statement. If I say, God, you don't know what I'm saying, whether it's the big G God or the little G God. And that's the truth. David declares in Psalm 69 verse 30. I want to show you the praises as David says that his praises endure or the praise of Yahweh endure forever. He says in Psalm 69 verse 30. He says, I will praise the name of my Father with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. See, that is the nature, or that is the thing that should endure forever. Even when we go into death, we praise him and bless him. He said, but I will praise his name with a song. And when one cannot sing a song to the Father, to his name, somewhere this scripture has no inspiration to their heart. It is not doctrine. It doesn't correct them. It doesn't inspire them. It doesn't show them how righteous this is to sing praises unto the Father. He declares in Psalm 74:21. In Psalm 74:21. He said, oh, let not the oppressed return ashamed. We've been oppressed. He said, but don't let him return ashamed. Don't be ashamed because you've been oppressed. He said, let the poor and the needy praise thy name. And that is the name that the poor and the needy ought to praise, the name of Yahweh. Let the poor and the needy, let the poor say, I am rich. Well, in that name, you're going to find the rich power of Yahweh. His wisdom, his counsel, his knowledge, his understanding. You can't associate him as a Lord or God. It can't be, saints. You come to the knowledge of the truth. You can't continue to disavow truth. We're pagans. And that is what man did because, do you know how many scriptures or what they call Bibles were written before the 1611?